You're very welcome along to the 9 till noon show. Welcome back. If you were listening in the first hour, we had an interesting conversation about a travel document that may be required for visitors to this country if they're not from Britain or Ireland, or normally residents here travelling from the Republic into the North. And we also discussed with Larry Donnelly Joe Biden's visit to Ireland next month. All right, some of your comments coming in so far this morning. Not offended with the drinking, fighting Irish opinion. I'm more offended by Biden being welcomed. That's the bigger picture that really affects us all. Regards from Mark. But why, Mark? Why is that bothering you? Good morning, Greg. It's okay to mock the Irish, but any other culture, it's a no-go. Why isn't Jimmy Kimmel sacked? If Colin and Brendan were black, and we all know what would happen, St. Patrick's is coming, the Yanks will be all dressed as leprechauns. Why don't we dress as blackface? What's good for the goose? Well, I don't. Why would we be racist in defense of perhaps not liking the portrayal of us? Why would we offend people of color? I don't understand the comparison there, but I do appreciate your texts. When will the penny ever drop that the partition of Ireland was a very bad idea, says a caller. Another, good morning, Greg. Homework did no harm to other generations, yet the snowflakes these days complain about everything. Parents that basically don't want to do work with their children. They want the easy life. Homework is essential, believes this caller. When you write stuff down, you remember it better, they say. Very bad hailstones up in the Carndonagh area, a listener says. That was an hour ago. Sorry, I just only got to that. My mistake. Hopefully things have eased there. Good morning, Greg. Let's invite Biden, the man who said he may be Irish, the man who said he may be Irish, but he ain't stupid. What a thing to say. Will they ask him about that comment? You heard Larry reference that, actually. I hadn't heard that one before. Morning, Greg. Can you just let anyone know that the back road from Drumkeen to Letterkenny to Atrann has heavy snow indeed? And as soon as the temperatures get to a certain low, it's just a road I would avoid, but some people can't. They might live on it. Congratulations to Highland Radio for putting on an excellent Irish language speaking segment on the Naughty Alarm Clock after 8 this morning. I hope Highland does a lot more of these Irish language speaking segments going forward. Okay, thanks for that. Hi Greg, could this be read out? Recently changed electricity providers. Smart meter was activated without consent. They said they cannot deactivate the meter. Has anyone been in this situation? Any help would be greatly appreciated. Thank you. I do know of many people who got a letter informing them that they were getting a smart meter informed, but they didn't really pay any attention to it, you know, because a lot of letters come through and you kind of recognize that it's just the bill and you throw it on the counter. And then they had the smart meter installed. That's pretty much given your consent if you don't object once you've got the notification. This person who contacted us said that they got a smart meter installed without their consent. Can it be deactivated? Can you roll back from the smart meter to analog? I would suggest not. Do they actually take out the old analog meter? I wonder when they are inserting the smart meter. I haven't really seen how it works. Right, lots and lots of reaction yesterday to our conversation between two guests as it relates to proposals, plans, the conversation about teaching transgender issues to 8 and 9 year olds in schools. I feel like we're at the start of the conversation here, and yet it seems like it's just about to be implemented. But anyway, some of your comments here, as I committed to at the end of the show yesterday. I agree with Pata Tobin. Haley's points issues are for adults only over 18 at least. Haley used words, children are flexible. That to me is a red alert because children are not mature enough to discern such issues in their lives. Parents know their own children, and a happy childhood without unnecessary confusion is vital for the well-being of all. But we are talking about, we're not talking about all children. We are talking about a very small amount of children compared to the national population. Maybe you are a parent of a child that it became apparent very early in their life. You know, this conversation seems to be along the lines of that 8 and 9 year olds, born male, identify as male, playing with boys' toys. Not that it's really as much like that anymore, but just for the sake of this statement. And girls, you know, love pink, playing with dolls, right? And then at 8 or 9, they go into school and they're taught about transgender issues. And then all of a sudden they start questioning themselves, believing that they aren't who they thought they were and all that kind of stuff. Is that actually happening, or is it that There's a child in the school from 4, 5, 6, or 7, and they may have been born male or female, but I act or feel that they aren't that. And this is to have a conversation so they feel that they're in a safe place and that other children understand that there are people like that as they go out into the big, bold world. Are those two scenarios mutually exclusive? I don't know. Maybe you're the parent of a child who, from an early age, identified as a gender not to which they were born as. Let us know and help us help everyone understand. Regarding the discussion about terminology used nowadays, yes, there are times when we need to be sensible and sensitive to different situations, such as when a child has lost a parent. But my opinion is the more we overemphasize things, the bigger an issue it becomes. Maybe we should be putting the focus on raising resilient children rather than always being on the defensive about terms used. Of course, we should all value and respect each other, but the need to be so PC has become ridiculous. But I don't necessarily think in certain scenarios it's about political correctness. Okay, it's about really experience of children. Like if a child, say for instance, lost their parents in a car crash and the teacher was aware of that, right? Would you then that year or the next year, you know, introduce a book or a film to the classroom or a conversation about car crashes without saying, hold on, yeah, we have to be careful here because this conversation might affect those children with what they've gone through? Or are you saying we should just teach them resilience and actually, you know, batter on and if it upsets them, it upsets them? And I'm not putting words in your mouth, by the way, and I hope you don't think I am, and I'm not disagreeing with you either, by the way, just to be very, very clear. I'm just sort of trying to expand the conversation and tease different views out there. But you would, wouldn't you? If I were a teacher and I knew that had happened, I would be careful if such an issue were to come up so as not to further harm that child. Or maybe I'd be wrong in doing so, and you should say, you know, suck it up, that's life. Filling children's heads with sexual issues at 8 or 9 years old is an abuse of children. Okay, so just, I would love you to text back. I know you text yesterday, hopefully you're listening today. If, I mean, obviously talking about the birds and the bees, what bits people have and what they might do with them, okay, let me put it like that there. For 8 or 9 year olds, I think most people would think, no, or at least would want to know what's being said. But if they're told that there are people who identify a different way to which they're born, right, without going into the ins and outs of it, right, is that acceptable or is that seen as sexual? Because one's gender, one's sex, right? Would that be acceptable or is it a no-go area, caller, right across the board for 8 or 9 year olds? What do you think? But see, the problem is I have, you know, 3 kids, of course, but one of them, completely different to the other, would be far more capable of absorbing information and processing it and understanding it than the other. And that's not a criticism of either, it's just personalities. I don't know how you can judge all children the same in terms of what they're able to understand or how it's told to them. But I'll read this listener's comment from the beginning to the end so they don't believe that I'm in any way trying to edit it. Filling children's heads with sexual issues at 8 or 9 years old is abuse of children. Children should be allowed to enjoy their childhood. Why are changing the words mother, father, etc. to accommodate LGBT and transgender people, a minority? Why are we changing the world, turning it upside down to please a minority? Now, I'm not sure. I mean, obviously, you've grouped in a whole group of people there as they are grouped in. But there are people within that group that might fully agree with you as well, that group that you've laid out there. Children in primary school have enough to deal with. I wouldn't mind it being taught in secondary school, but primary school is too young. And this is why parents need to be consulted. Teaching children about gay or trans people will not make your child trans or gay, believes this listener. If we don't teach them about the real world, they'll get their misinformation elsewhere. Patter is against teaching consent and the new sex ed program. Also, surely as a country, we must realise that has not worked well for us in the past. We need to be open and transparent. But we also need to be sure, and we don't know yet, and I hope this forms part of the conversation, what is taught to children, how it's taught to them, and what impact what or how it is taught to them has on them. Because, of course, this listener here very clearly, and I think they're probably referencing the fact that children were abused in horrendous numbers in the past and probably didn't know what was happening to them because there was no education, right? And they weren't able to sort of say, this is wrong, or you shouldn't be doing that, or didn't know how to relate what was happening to them to an adult that they trust. we don't ever want to be in that situation, do we? But we also have to make sure that in what we say to them and how we educate them on anything for that matter is not also damaging to them. Clearly not in the same way. But do we know at this point, right, how, and sorry if I keep saying right, it's just as I gather my thoughts, 7, 8, 9, 10-year-olds, would it have any negative impact on them having this information? And I think we need to be very clear on that, wouldn't we? If you don't want your child educated according to the Catholic Church, don't send them to a Catholic school, simple as that. Another, what is the psychological advice on teaching this in schools to children under 12? Where is the carefree childhood in later life they can live and learn? Another, why is it always blamed on the Catholic Church? I don't know of any religion that is for this. She's not a real Catholic, and ask her what her views are on the Muslim view on transgenderism education. There's two genders, male and female, to teach the kids. Some of these are actually referencing a conversation on Friday, but we covered that on Friday. It's up to parents to teach their children. It's worked for thousands of years and the world did not stop, says another. Another, we don't teach primary school children about paedophilia, suicides, murders. We protect their innocence for as long as possible. Yeah, but I mean, lots of, I presume lots of parents have had to have these conversations with children that have been exposed to or are victims of some of the things that you talk about here. Another says, this country cracks me up. The Catholic Church built these schools. Now we're saying you may own them, but we want authority to run them. If you don't like their teaching, send your kids elsewhere. There is no way the people of Ireland would walk into a Muslim school and tell them what to teach in their school. It simply would not happen. My daughter came back from school and she told me that they were learning about transsexuals, asexuals, bisexuals, gay, lesbian, non-binary, and so on. I asked, was she taught about heterosexuality? She didn't know what I was talking about, right, which is an interesting statement. Another, if you don't want your child educated according to the Catholic ethos, don't send them to a Catholic school. I think that's in response to a little bit of criticism of the Catholic Schools Authority weighing in on that issue. On the point of transgenderism, caller says that whatever people choose to identify is their choice and should be respected, but we should not be discussing this with small children in schools. Let children be children, they say. At the end of the day, we are pleasing a very small percentage of our society by doing this. Listen, that's quite a broad sample of what was coming in. I think so far from what people are saying on to us on this show is that, broadly speaking, parents are either against or are very nervous about what and how is being taught in the schools. It's a developing conversation, one which we'll return to. We appreciate all of you.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, protecting what you value most. Call today and get your zero wire alarm system from €299. Sheridan Security, 91 26025.
Okay, it's 24 minutes past 10 on this Tuesday, the 14th of March, and it's time for today's edition of Community Garda Information. And delighted to welcome into studio Garda Grainne Doherty from the Letterkenny District Station. Good morning to you, Grainne. Thank you so much for joining us.
Morning, Greg.
Okay, we have some questions to answer. I'm sure we'll have the Donegal Youth Awards reminder.
We will, yeah.
And we have some information on St. Patrick's Day as well. But let's start with some appeals and how the public might be able to help in relation to a road traffic collision in Letterkenny, Grainne.
Yeah, so this collision happened on the Port Road actually very close to the Dry Arch filling station there. So it involved a pedestrian and a car. It happened on Thursday the 9th of March, so shortly before 11 p.m. So Gardaí were at the scene and they spoke to all parties involved at the scene. The pedestrian was taken on to Letterkenny University Hospital to receive medical treatment for injuries they sustained. So we just wish to speak to anybody who travelled on that route, who witnessed the collision firstly, but anybody also who may have had a dash cam that travelled on that stretch of road, we would like to hear from them also. So Gardaí and Letterkenny may be contacted on 9167 100, and perhaps there was somebody in and around the filling station itself that may have witnessed the collision also that we could speak to.
All right. Your colleagues in Ballyshannon investigating a really quite significant theft close to Mount Charters.
Yeah, and this is quite an unusual one for these parts. I know that this was quite commonplace for a number of months last year. I know mid last year, maybe down the country, but So Gardaí and Ballyshannon, they're investigating the theft of 1.5 tonne of copper cable from a yard. This yard was at Drumkeelin, Mount Charles. This happened on Thursday the 9th of March, the early hours, between 12:30 and 1:20 a.m. So as part of this investigation, the guards are particularly interested in any sightings of a white van in that area around that time. So we appeal again to anybody who travelled in that area who had a dash cam. We're particularly interested in speaking to them to make the footage available to us. And as we often say, just it's only a matter of dropping the footage into the station and the guards then will go through the footage. And if anybody has any other relevant information, we also ask them to contact Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071 985 8530. And as always, the Garda Confidential line may be contacted on 1800 666 111.
All right, back to Dr. Kenny now and your colleagues investigating criminal damage in Manor Cunningham.
Yeah, so this incident happened in the White Hill area of Manor Cunningham, happened on the morning of Friday the 10th of March, shortly after midnight. So a Jeep had been parked up at a yard at a house in that area. It was set alight. So we appeal for dash cam footage again from anybody who may have travelled in that area in the early hours of Friday morning past, shortly after midnight. We are particularly interested in any sightings of a man, a lone male, who was on foot in that area around that time. If anybody can assist in any way with this appeal, contact Gardaí and Letterkenny on 9167100.
I mean, this is troubling, but the fact it was parked close to a residential property
it was,
as well.
It was parked on the yard, joined onto the house, yeah.
Worrying, okay. Now, investigations ongoing into an incident on the grounds of Letterkenny University Hospital.
Yeah, so another quite a similar type of incident, actually. So this criminal damage incident happened on in the early hours of Saturday, the 11th of March. So between 2:05 a.m. and 2:10 a.m. So a car, it was a red Toyota Vitz at partial registration number 12D61. This car had been it's just set alight and abandoned. It was abandoned on the hospital grounds quite near where the main entrance to the hospital is. So just when you go in the main entrance, slightly over to the left.
Was this the lower main entrance? Is
it that? No, the main entrance into
okay,
the hospital,
yeah, understood,
you know, the wee roundabout there.
Do,
but
yeah.
It branched off slightly to the left-hand side. Mm. And it was just abandoned on the wrong side of the road in there on the hospital grounds. Had been set alight. So just we appeal to anybody who may have witnessed the incident, you know, who may have witnessed the vehicle being set alight. We appeal to anybody who may have seen this car being driven in and around the area of Letterkenny Town or captured it on their dash cam footage. The car again is a red Toyota Vitz partial reg 12D61. So if anybody has any information in relation to that or dash cam footage that they believe might assist us, contact us in Letterkenny on 9167 100.
All right, back to Ballyshannon here. And a number of instances of criminal damage being investigated.
Yeah, so these incidents happened at St. Benildis. I hope I'm saying that properly.
You are,
now. St.
Yep.
Benildis Avenue there in Ballyshannon. So they happened between 1:30 a.m. and 9:30 a.m. on Thursday, the 9th of March. Residents in that area, they just had parked their cars overnight. The following morning, they discovered that quite substantial damage had been caused to their cars. You know, the cars had been keyed. Some of the cars had the bonnets keyed and the doors keyed, and other cars had just the doors keyed, but quite a bit of damage done there. There was four separate vehicles that were damaged in that area. So residents in that area, maybe who may have seen or heard anything, we're appealing to anybody who may have witnessed any suspicious activity in that area on that date to contact Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071 985 8530. And again, the confidential line if they wish to contact them.
Yeah, and when you talk about, say, for instance, you know, people might have a doorbell that records or whatever, you're not talking about necessarily all the time the incidents occurring at that time. It's activity that might seem unusual and may be connected that can help form part of the investigation and find those responsible. Because if it was this area on that particular night, who is to say it won't be another area on another night? You know, the sooner these people are spoken to, I think the better.
Exactly. And look, it could be as simple as a resident in that area could have heard noise or chattering outside or and looked out and maybe seen one, two people, something that might have seemed insignificant to them. But, you know, that information may be invaluable to us.
Yep,
so we would ask them if they have seen any sort of activity in that area between those times. I mean, in the middle of the night, you know, if you heard any sort of commotion and you happened to look out, we would like to hear from you.
Yeah, it's either quite a lot of people in a very short space of time or fewer people and they're going to have to be on scene for quite some time. So someone hopefully saw something there. Right, now I mentioned and it's great to be talking about this again because I think it really is a super initiative and that's the Donegal Youth Awards. It's just a further reminder to the public, Grania.
It is, and I know it was mentioned last week now. We're like a long playing record, but just we're eager now to give
to
everybody an opportunity.
That's entitled, that deserves the nomination.
Exactly,
yeah.
And we did send out the forms to the schools and to clubs, you know, round Donegal, round the division. But it's just too, look, it's easy to forget these things too. So it's just to issue a reminder. So the closing date for nominations is the 27th of March, Monday the 27th, and the nominations have to be in by midday on that date to be considered. So the Donegal Garda Youth Awards are held every year in conjunction with the Joint Policing Committee, and they celebrate outstanding young people. The young people have to be between the ages of 13 and 21 and from throughout the Donegal area. So we're inviting people, look, if you know of a young person, a group of young people who are committed to making a difference within their community during 2022, we'd love to hear from you. Get the nominations in. There are four separate awards categories: the Individual Award, Group Award, Special Achievement Award and Community Safety Award. So this year's adjudicators are Judge Etchen Cunningham, Inspector Paul McGee and Councillor Jerry McMonigal. The forms can be obtained at any of the Letterkenny, Milford, Ballyshannon or Buncrana Garda stations. You can go to our Facebook page. There's a link on our Facebook page to download the forms, or the Donegal County Council website. They also have the links on their website to download the forms. And send the form back to Letterkenny Garda Station and just mark it for my attention, Grania Doherty at the station. So you can also actually, you can email it in to Donegal Garda Youth Awards at garda.ie, or drop, look at, you can drop it into your local station, either Milford or Buncrana if you want, and they can forward them on over to me.
Brilliant, okay. So, it's a fantastic initiative, and even just being nominated, everyone who's nominated is recognised. That's a brilliant thing. Right, now we get this contact quite regularly. A listener contacted the show last week in relation to foreign registered cars that are in Ireland and being driven by people presumably now living in Ireland. The caller wanted to know if those cars fall under the same regulations that UK registered cars do when owned and driven by a resident of Ireland. So just to frame this a little bit better, I mean, clearly what we're talking about here, I imagine, is people maybe with a car from Ukraine that they've been here for now quite some time and they're driving around, yet someone who has buys a car in the north and tries to drive around very quickly, they're pulled over and dealt with the full rigours of the law. So I presume that's where this comment is coming from. And we do get an awful lot of people concerned, seemingly, about foreign registered vehicles, let's just say Ukrainian vehicles, for example, being driven routinely now across Ireland. What is the law? Do the same laws not apply to them?
Yeah, well, look, if you move to Ireland and you live here for 12 months or more, well, just in relation to the driving licence first, I wanted to cover that also. So if you live here for a year or more as a permanent resident, you must transfer your driving licence over to an Irish driving licence. So that's just something for people to be aware of. If you come to Ireland and you bring from, regardless of what country you come from, if you bring your foreign registered car with you, you must register it immediately if you intend on staying here as a permanent resident of Ireland. So it's the same rules would apply if you're a permanent resident of Ireland and you want to buy a UK registered car.
Yeah, but what if you stop me at a checkpoint, right, and I'm driving a Ukrainian vehicle, and this is not to target the individuals at all, but this is what we're talking about, and you say, why aren't you re-registered your vehicle? I say, well, I'm here, you know, because I'm fleeing a war. I hope to return next month.
To
Ukraine, for example. Do you know what I mean? I can't say for certain that I'm going to be here in a year, 2 years or 3 years. You know, what would happen in that instance?
Well, you see, really, I suppose if a guard stops somebody at a checkpoint and they're maybe aware of the person that they are, they're definite, you know, in relation to the fact that this person is a permanent resident of Ireland and they're driving a foreign registered car, then in which case... And look, I suppose it's primarily an issue for revenue. It would be more of a revenue issue.
I think what people want to know is, are the same rules being applied to everyone in this country equally by Gardaí all of the time now?
Well, the rules are being applied equally, but it would matter, you know, if you're a permanent resident, the rules are totally different to somebody who brings a foreign registered car here who has no intention of living here.
Yeah.
And this won't be their primary residence on a permanent basis. Mm. You know, when you have people that come from various countries that bring their car, they remain here maybe 1 month, 2 months, but their intention is to travel home. Mm-hmm. And in which case then their only obligation is to ensure that the car is fully insured, roadworthy, same as every other car. And the guards do check that. They check their insurance, check their papers. But we have to be certain that that person is a permanent resident in Ireland. We do our background checks, of course, then after maybe stopping a car, you know, we do our background checks. We take note of the registration number and we will check. The guards do regularly check. You know, they just don't take these stories at face value at the roadside either. So they do check, you know, is this person here on a permanent basis? And then maybe if it's discovered that the person was not being truthful and they are here as a permanent resident, you know, and when the guard comes across that person again, then, you know, the matter will be dealt with then. But we have to be sure in the fact that that person is a permanent resident, or, you know, we have to verify the story to see, are they only here?
Because you can't spot a foreign registered vehicle, let's put it like that, and all of a sudden fear the worst and spend tons of resources trying to find out the exact background and intentions of the driver. That's not really how law enforcement works in any scenario, really, presumably.
No. Well, we have to have our facts in a row. You know, we have to have everything correct before we seize any vehicle or before we take action of any sort. So the background checks would be done, and if somebody stopped, regardless of where they're from, if they're driving a foreign registered car, they would be stopped, you know, their details would be taken, and then whatever facts you're given at the roadside will be checked. You know, these facts will be checked after the fact, and if the car stopped again, and if you have been given false information and you have discovered in the meantime that in fact this person is a permanent resident in Ireland, then they will be dealt with in the same manner as any other resident in the country, you know, and their car will be seized and they will be dealt with accordingly. Yeah.
All right, another question came in about L plates. Now, this is the perception of this caller. They were out and about in Letterkenny, just to shorten it a little bit. They spotted loads of cars, six cars, I think, with L plates up. And then they concluded that because the drivers were young, that they must be the unaccompanied L driver. Now, we don't know if that's the case, because there could be twins. You know, one's L driver and the other's fully qualified, but then you'd expect to see an N on the car as well, of course, right? Perhaps, dependent on their age. But anyway, what is the situation with drivers on a learner permit? Their car is in their name, it's fully taxed, it's fully insured, but they have to have a fully licensed driver on board with them at all times. Is that the case?
They do. And we want to remind all learner drivers who are tuned in this morning, or perhaps maybe parents out there who have a young person in their house who is a learner permit holder, they have to be, by law, they have to be accompanied by a qualified driver at all times while driving. And the Clancy Amendment, we've discussed the Clancy Amendment before, so it's now 4 years, over 4 years in December, actually, since the Clancy Amendment was introduced. It was introduced to improve safety on the roads by providing us, the guards, with an additional power to seize vehicles from learner drivers who are detected driving a vehicle while unaccompanied by a qualified driver. So under the Clancy provision, learner or unlicensed drivers who choose to ignore this legislation, they will have their car seized. Their cars are being seized.
That's not discretionary. The car will be seized.
No, the car will be seized, and the cars are being seized. I know from talking to especially the roads policing unit, these cars are being seized on quite a regular basis. But just something for people to be aware of also, owners of vehicles, again, I'm picking on the parents, but you know, a parent or whoever owns the car, if they willingly allow a learner driver to go out, they're well aware that they're going off out on the road today with their L plate, they're not accompanied. If they're aware of that fact, that person can face prosecution, the owner of the vehicle, and the vehicle will be seized also. So, and they are regularly seized, you know.
When you say seized, just can they be released? Is a payment made to release the vehicle, or are they gone?
Oh, no, they can be released, but it will be the owner of the vehicle.
Understood.
You know, they would have to pay a seizure release fee then.
No
and
problem.
And when the car is seized, there's a fee that has to be paid when it's seized, but each day then that the car is in our possession, there's an additional fee per day as well.
Yeah.
So also the driver, the learner driver, they would get a fixed penalty notice also. So they would face a fine of €80 and they would receive 2 penalty points, which wouldn't be good. If you're a learner driver, you want to avoid getting penalty points at all costs. You know, well, everybody wants to avoid getting penalty points, but starting out in your driving career, you certainly don't want to be letting them mount up. So the learner driver is only covered by their insurance company if it states so in the terms of their insurance. So when a learner driver stopped, they're asked, same as everybody else, you know, they're given the 10 days to produce their insurance cert. The terms of that insurance policy then will be read in detail by whichever guard stopped them at the roadside. So that's something they should be aware of. So just look at really what we want to learner drivers today. Please don't go out driving unaccompanied. Owners of cars also, something that people may not have been aware of, you know, they can face prosecution if they allow their young person out on the roads. Just one other thing, I hadn't got it here in the notes, but just for people who are the holder of a learner permit, just something for them to be aware of. If you're only covered to drive on a learner permit in the jurisdiction from which that permit was issued. So, you know, somebody residing in Donegal, their permit was issued here in Letterkenny or in Donegal, that won't cover them outside that jurisdiction to drive as a learner driver.
Outside the Republic?
Yeah, and it's the same. If it's issued in Northern Ireland, you know, they won't be covered then on this side. It's just something maybe people weren't aware of, and it's something for them to be aware of as well.
So even accompanied, they couldn't go into Derry?
No, not a learner driver. No, their permit's only valid in the jurisdiction.
Yep, not just to clarify, even accompanied, that is the case. All right, that's very, very interesting. Just looking out over your shoulder there, the snow is tipping it down. So if you're out and about, dependent on where you are, but particularly on high ground, the snow is still with us. It's bucketing down here at the mountain top. Right, okay, it's not going to be snowing. on St. Patrick's Day, thankfully. It's going to be much milder, and we're going to have some sunshine and some showers. But it's a busy weekend for Gardaí.
It is, yeah. And look, we're asking all road users, it's the same spiel every year. So coming up to St. Patrick's Day, St. Patrick's Day is an extremely busy day for Gardaí, both on the streets in relation to public order issues and both out in the roads also. So we're urging all road users, firstly, to act responsibly. Make responsible road safety decisions this St. Patrick's Day and over the course of the weekend. Listen, the last thing anybody wants is a tragedy. And we're asking people just to make safe decisions. And there is a roads policing operation in place. I was speaking to the sergeant in charge there of the roads policing unit. And it will take place over St. Patrick's Day itself, but it also will continue on over the weekend until 7 a.m. on Tuesday morning. So they will be out enforcing the roads, checkpoints will be held, speed checks. And Gardaí will also maintain a visible presence on the streets, you know, around St. Patrick's Day. So our priority is to keep people safe. We want to prevent death and injury on our roads. So we're also appealing to those who will be out socialising and consuming alcohol to leave their car at home, you know, designate a driver or arrange a lift in advance, contact a taxi. And remember as well that you may be over the limit the morning after. So we're urging people not to drive while under the influence of alcohol or drugs. And please also never get into a car. If you're aware that the driver has consumed alcohol or drugs, don't get into that car as a passenger.
Yeah. Ring someone that cares about you. You know,
exactly.
No one minds getting that call. Might be a bit crabbed and give out, right? But I think any of us would prefer a call at 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, get in the car, get out of bed and pick you up, than thinking that you're jumping into the back of a car, maybe with no seatbelt, with someone who might be under the influence. You know, so passengers have a big responsibility here, but call us. You know,
and
I would suggest.
You're going, look at your mammy or daddy or whoever, they're going to be crabbed if it's 4 a.m.
But they want you home safe. Yeah.
They would rather receive a call from you than a call from us or the hospital to say, you know, that the worst has happened, and that's, and the crabbedness will only last a few minutes.
Exactly.
And they will come for you. They love you at the end of the day, and that's the safest option. Look, if you can't get a taxi, do ring someone from home and ask them to come. And listen, if it's a case that you're stuck in the town, maybe you've no phone credit, your battery's dead, whatever the case is, you can't get a taxi, call up to the Garda station. Call up and ask us. We'll ring home for you, or we'll try and, you know, we'll try and ring a taxi or your family or somebody, but just don't take that chance. That's all we're asking people yet.
Right, okay. And be well aware of the half-life of alcohol and drugs as well, particularly drugs. Obviously, they're illegal to take, but there are more detections now than there ever was of people driving under the influence of drugs. And it may not be just immediately after they've taken them, or alcohol, that they can both stay in your system for quite some time after you've finished have you finished using them? So just be aware of that as well. Right, okay. So obviously the biggest parade on Friday is in Letterkenny, and there's a bit of a policing operation there to allow the parade travel through the town smoothly, but allow people to get access to go up and see it. So what's happening?
Yeah, so look, same as every year, there's going to be a temporary road closure here in Letterkenny on St. Patrick's Day just to allow for the parade and the festivities that go with that. So between 1 and 5pm, between the Port Road, between the station roundabout, really, from the station roundabout, the whole way up Main Street to the very end of Lower Main Street, the whole Main Street's going to be shut. That's it, between those hours, between 1 and 5.
That's it.
That's a very detailed road closure.
You're going about looking. Hey, I'm not getting into the specifics. From there to there, deal with it.
From the station roundabout to the old Dunn's, shut.
End of story.
But that's the way it
no
is, really.
Questions.
We can go into all other bits if you want, but,
yeah, okay.
But that,
no,
that sums it up.
That sums it up, indeed.
So, and listen, it's only for everybody's safety as well. And of course, listen, if anybody has specific needs, such as, you know, they need disabled park and things like that, bring that to our attention. That'll be accommodated, yeah. And we want to wish everybody a happy St. Patrick's Day, a safe and responsible one. Many families go out. Look, it's a big family day. It's not just for those out reveling, socialising. A lot of families go out. It's a family day.
Brilliant.
We want everybody to enjoy the day. So if everybody acts in a responsible manner, hopefully they should. So.
All right, good. And let's hope that... And listen, no one wants to wake up the next day with a sore head in the Garda station or with a court date ahead of them. I don't think anyone would willingly want to do that. So just before you go, a couple of messages coming in. What about Ukrainians? They have no tax, no insurance because guards can't understand their language. I mean, listen, there's an arrangement. We covered this before with the Insurance Federation of Ireland. There is an arrangement between Ireland and the Ukraine whereby they can continue paying their insurance in the Ukraine and they're covered to drive here. That is covered. I don't know what the story is, re-tax or whatever, but listen, they're not getting around checkpoints or what have you because the guards can't speak Ukrainian or they can't speak English, presumably. I mean, that is something that's spread on social media, and I think people believe it to be fact. You're a guard, right? You're not going to sit there and tell us something that's not true. Routinely, are people from other countries, let's just say Ukraine, driving around in cars that are neither insured or taxed, and guards can do nothing about them because they can't speak their language and they're not seizing the vehicles because the people aren't registered in the state?
No, most certainly not. And as I explained earlier, you know, those cars, regardless Ukraine, wherever their cars are from, if they're on foreign registered plates, those people, if they are going to remain in Ireland and they're going to be here on a permanent basis, their cars will have to be re-registered, same as everybody else. But the insurance issue, that certainly is not overlooked. That's a very big issue for guards. Insurance is of utmost importance. So we have actually got an interpretation service that we can get by phone. We use it regularly at the station. So if it is a case that somebody stopped at the roadside, we can get a translation service on the phone to conduct a conversation with, regardless of what language you're dealing with. So yeah, no, definitely not. No,
yeah, that's all language. And listen, it's not a focus. It's not certainly a focus on the Ukraine. And I wasn't drawing you into that, Grania. But I imagine I'm just referencing in the reality what a lot of people's concerns may be. So there's no point pussyfooting around it. From my perspective, you get me. All right, Garda, Grania Doherty, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you
so much. We really appreciate it. That was Community Garda information for this Tuesday, the 14th of March. It'll be available for you to listen back on our website or watch on our social media and on the Facebook account of An Garda Síochána Síochána later today. We're back with you with it live next week after the 10 o'clock news next Tuesday. Okay, a bit of a treat for you now because singer-songwriter George Houston's back in studio. Hey, George, how are you getting on?
All good, how are you?
Great, and it's good to have you back in with us.
Thank you for having me.
From Inishowen, you're pretty young in your career, but at the same time, you've been around a bit too. It says in the blog here, George's young career, but you've been performing quite a while now.
First song out on the 18th of September 2020, if you want an exact date.
Thanks for that. Yeah, indeed. All right. And how has it been? Because it's a tough enough false slog to get your art out there too, isn't it?
I think it's just with the COVID that kind of put a big pause on everything. But since things have opened up, there's gigs everywhere and people are mad to get back at live music and hear live musicians playing. And I think that there's a real taste for it.
Yeah, because I mean, obviously you record music, you put it out there, and we're going to talk about your album launch shortly, but there can be nothing better than sort of getting out in front of people, I'd imagine. And you've been on some big gigs too, haven't you?
Last year we were doing a Stendal Festival with Sister Sledge and Villagers, and Hacey Dixies were headlining. Like, they're just class musicians. I've been listening to them since I was wee. And then I supported for the Hot House Flowers on a Christmas show in the Guildhall in Derry, which is definitely the biggest show I've ever done. It was fantastic to meet them all.
What was it like getting out on stage and, you know, did you allow yourself to see how many people were there and them all kind of like surrounding you and just waiting for you to start? Like, what's that emotion like?
It was just exhilarating, really, but I suppose every stage is different, and the Guildhall is this real eerie vibe, like this huge cathedral, and there's a real echo off of everything I was saying. So it was just, I suppose...
You could hear yourself packing on the monitor.
I could hear myself gulping and everything.
But do you get nerves, and do you use that nerves to your advantage? Because nerves, people always believe nerves to be a negative thing, but once you can use nerves, if you don't get nerves, it's bad. And then once you can use those nerves to your advantage, do you know what I mean? Because it's the flight and fight.
Yeah.
You can really use them to feed back into your performance, can't you?
I probably just get an adrenaline rush, really. Yeah. And it kind of, I do think it helps get some of those high notes out. But probably I'm more nervous after the show because then it's kind of seeing what the verdict is and seeing how it went. That's when I get the nerves.
Okay, I suppose, right. Now, we're going to hear two songs from you. We'll talk about the album launch later this month. Mm-hmm. Shall we go with The Other Man first?
Yeah, okay.
All right, whenever you're ready, take it away. This is George Houston, singer-songwriter from Inishowen, already enjoying a great deal of success, and his new album's coming out later this month. This is The Other Man.
Why would you tell the truth if you could lie? Why would you tell the truth if you could lie? Because it's easy, the truth is cursed, but I've already been lied to. That's the part that hurts. You want a clean slate, I'd like it dirty. I'm barely overage and babe, you're pushing 30. I'm not naive, I know you're a cheater. At least it isn't me who has to come out and leave her. Don't touch my hair, don't take my hand. Can't believe you made me the other man. I don't wanna be the man. I don't want to be lying in my bed awake, no worries or regrets, except the smell of you and menthol cigarettes. You ask again to wait, well I don't stay up late, not for you to tell me how I hesitate. Why would you tell the truth if you could lie? Why would you tell the truth if you could lie? Because it's easy, the truth is cursed, but I've already been lied to. That's the part that hurts. You want a clean slate, I'd like it dirty. I'm barely overage and babe, you're pushing 30. I'm not naive, I know you're a cheater. At least it isn't me who has to come out and leave her. Don't touch my hair, don't take my hand. Can't believe you made me the other man. I don't wanna be the other man. I don't wanna be. Because it's easy, the truth is cursed, but I've already been lied to. That's the part that hurts. You want a clean slate, I'd like it dirty. I'm barely overage and babe, you're pushing 30. I'm not naive, I know you're a cheater. At least it isn't me who has to come out and leave her. Don't touch my hair, don't take my hand. Can't believe you made me. The man I don't wanna be. So tell me, why would you tell the truth if you could lie? Why would you tell the truth if you could lie?
Well done, George Houston there and the other man. So, I mean, there's a maturity to the songwriting there now. I mean, you're talking about, a complicated subject there. In the writing process, why do you want to go down that route? Or is it the right time to sort of start, not that you ever did, but, nice fluffy pop songs. I mean, that's a song with a story in there.
I suppose I'm one of those ones that kind of uses it like a diary. And I think there's something wrong with the way capitalism has made people think that unless music's good and unless you can make money from it, then it's not useful. Mm. And that's a real shame, because music's made to make you feel, and it's made to make you happy and sad, and it's made to get it out. And yeah, I think when I'm writing, I just want to get something out, and I'm trying not to think too much if it's poppy or if it's jazzy. I just want it to be.
But in terms of those norms and that capitalism that you talk of, though, that's kind of being circumnavigated to some extent, because your relationship now, really, for the most part, is directly with your fans.
Yeah.
If you know what I mean. Like, it's great to get airplay.
Oh, yeah.
It's great to get on the streams and all that. Mm-hmm. But in terms of, you can reach your fan base directly yourself.
Yeah.
They can come to your concerts.
Mm-hmm.
So you're getting rid of the middleman, so to speak.
I will.
Well, you can do. Now, the middleman's important too, don't get me wrong, but,
I suppose at the end of the day, if someone who is kind of struggling with anything, or if there's a feeling in common, then it makes it worth it, because they get a happiness out of it, or they get a sadness out of it. If someone cries to one of my songs, it's a huge compliment, because it's kind of like we have something in common, even if it's even if they're thinking of a different situation.
Well, that's it. That's what good songwriting is, I think, because I mean that song sounds like it's about a very specific situation, but it's very relatable. Mm. You know, you change the characters, and you know,
and it doesn't even mean
something.
Something to
someone, and that's what you've done your job when a song can
and people
do that.
Put their own experiences onto songs as well, which is lovely.
All right, that's The Other Man. That's on the new album, isn't it?
That's on the original album. This is just kind of a tour of the last two albums because I've never put on my own shows as of yet. I've just been doing festivals and supporting for people. So this is me.
So is Undesired really... You are launching an album called Undesired, right?
The album's already out.
Is it right?
But this is like...
Listen, I've missed one important word in all of this. Mm-hmm. This is the... tour of the album.
Yes.
The album's out.
Yeah.
Now we're launching the tour of that album.
Yes, okay, this is the Undesired
tour.
That's
why I should read every line, every word in the line. Yeah. All right, so George is launching his new album tour, Undesired. It's at the Regional Cultural Centre on Thursday, the 30th of March at 8 p.m. And it's you would be enough, but you've got a great lineup on the night, haven't you?
I fantastic lineup. I have Shauna... is it McDade or Gallagher? Shauna McDade, I'm pretty sure.
Shauna McDade, you are 100% right.
I'm thinking of my friend, Shauna Gallagher. Shauna McDade, she's a fantastic songwriter. I heard her in the Cottage Bar, and her voice is just so deep and rich. It's unbelievable. It sounded like a studio recording when I first heard her. I just really wanted her to join me for the night.
Brilliant.
And as well, I have Romy. It's a German duo, and their harmonies are just gorgeous. They sound like they're... straight out of, like, I don't know, Appalachian folk. It's just beautiful.
All right, okay. Your band's there, Katie Houston, Rachel Craig, Steamy McKay, and of Tramp, and Malcolm Boyd, Happy Out. Yeah, so we're in the company here of George Houston, singer-songwriter. He's launching his album Tour Undesired at the Regional Cultural Centre on Thursday the 30th of March. So music is much more to you, George, then your songwriting, your singing then. I mean, I think you probably have views on the state or direction or perception of the music industry.
I'm
very intuitive.
I think the music industry is full of businessmen, unfortunately. But, like, you just have to roll with the punches, unfortunately, and find the good ones that are in it for the love of music.
Right, boo-hoo. Talk to us about this track.
This is the first song I ever put out, I suppose that's
it. Does its own talking, does it?
Yeah.
All right, take it away. This is George Houston then and his track, Boohoo.
I'm not leaving till I am done. This is crime, this is treason. Sacred duty, it ain't fun. I'm here for the cry fest. I'm not leaving till I am done. My God, I'm open. Can't be seen by anyone. So boo-hoo, apologies for being a downer. And boo-hoo, I guess I'm gonna turn my frown upside down. Then not for you. Ooh-hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo. Do you think you are telling me not to cry as I try to get over you? Running down my cheek. Don't care what the neighbors say. I don't know what people think. And water, water everywhere. And vodka down the sink. Water, water everywhere. But not brought us up to drink. I'm here for the cry fest. I'm not leaving till I am done. By God, I'm open. Can't be seen by anyone. So boom. Apologies for being the downer. And I guess I'm gonna turn my frown upside down then, but not for you. Do you think you are telling me not to cry as I try to get over you? Singing boo. Apologies for being the downer. I'm gonna turn my frown upside down then, but not for you. Do you think you are telling me not to cry as I try to get over you?
Well done, George Houston there. That is Boo Hoo. The album tour Undesired, the launch of it, is in the Regional Cultural Centre at the end of this month, Thursday the 30th of March at 8 p.m. Are public invited? Are tickets available? How is it working?
Tickets available on RCC website. There is shows in Belfast and Dublin and Derry. And they can all the tickets can be found on my social webs or socials like Instagram. Just look up George Houston on Facebook. Instagram should be easy to find.
All right, okay. And on the 30th of March, great lineup too. You heard Shauna McDade there, Donegal singer songwriter, the German duo Rami, and so many more besides. Continued success. What is success? What does success look like to you, George?
Just be able to keep doing this.
Excellent. Well, you're doing it. Houston, we don't have a problem. Indeed. You're doing well. All right. And keep at it. Well done, George. It's great to see you developing as you are. It's amazing. We wish you everything that you wish for and loads of success. All right.